Welcome to the podcast. This is Dave Say, graphic designer.
This is Sid Caesar, photographer.
And sucking on a candy bar or something like that.
We're going to have to totally do that over again.
All right, okay.
See, it's not like what you think it is.
It's not just smooth.
It's laborious.
Laborious. It's handcrafted. Or handcrafted? Handcrafted.
Handcrafted.
Yeah, so, okay. So we will take a few seconds to compose ourselves. Sit up straight. Because Chelsea said, like, if I sit up straight and have my vocal cords all lined up with my... So Lisa's saying something that I can't hear through my headphones, but it sounded very, very important. So I'm going to sit up straight and nod. Well, all right. Okay, you ready? Okay.
All right, here we go.
This is for real.
This is for keeps. This is for real.
Okay. Welcome to the podcast. This is David Say, graphic designer.
And I'm photographer Sid Caesar.
And it's been a while since we've had one of these. And it's a very special occasion today because we are recording here at the Nashua Jelly at Studio 99 at 115 Main Street. I can never say studio properly.
It's like studio.
Slow down.
It's like a Phil Collins song.
Studio. Studio 99.
Studio 99.
At 115 Main.
Who just won... something in New Hampshire Magazine. They got best place to jam for 2010. So congratulations.
Editor's choice. Congratulations.
So congratulations to Studio 99. Studio 99 Nashua.com.
It's catching. Yeah, she's giving us the queen wave.
So we're recording live from here.
Yep, and this is like our fifth take just starting up. So it's been a while since we've done this. So you had to bear with us. But there's a lot of news, a lot of things to catch up on.
Lots of great stuff.
We've been busy. That could be our excuse. Sid here has like won several awards or has been seen nationally. And like I'll just ask you to fill us in on.
Seems like the first quarter of 2010 has been the accolade quarter. And it started with the Hippo Awards. Every year they come out with best of categories, like best restaurant, best cook, best this, best that.
Yep.
Somehow I ended up getting the best visual artist award for 2010, which was very exciting and very
unexpected,
encouraging. And it was, you know, like they called me because they called and I figured they wanted me just to do some of the stuff. I sort of work on their best of issues, doing photographs and stuff. So she called and she was like, well, you know, first I have to congratulate you. And I was like, well, I didn't even take the pictures yet. What are you congratulating me for? And then she told me that she won this thing. So that was kind of nice. So it was very, very encouraging. And it's nice to know that people are actually paying attention.
Yeah. You got a little sign to put up on the studio?
I did. I got my little sign they gave me, and I've got it hanging outside the studio.
Yep. Where
nobody sees it. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing was I had an image published in June in Popular Photography magazine.
Sweet.
In their lighting section. Very exciting. Sort of like the first national publication for me.
Yeah.
A lot of eyes.
How did they find you?
The editor of the how-to section saw my Flickr stream and saw a headshot that I had taken on there and contacted me and said this would be perfect for the magazine and would you be interested in answering a bunch of questions. And so I filled out this big questionnaire kind of thing. And what it turned into was a two-page sort of article about that headshot, that specific headshot, and they did sort of like little diagrams about what sort of equipment I used, and it was really kind of nice. And I made sure that, you know, they mentioned me, and I made sure that my website got listed, and I made sure they mentioned Vanessa, who modeled for it, so she could get some, you know,
nice
credit. So it was good. So we had that, and then the third little cool thing was the New Hampshire Business on the Arts, New Hampshire Business on the Arts, New Hampshire Business for the Arts. Every year they have the best of the New Hampshire Business Awards, which is they award businesses that sort of contribute the most money to arts-related things,
nice.
Subjects. And then every year they pick an artist to use as the actual physical awards. And this year they picked five of my images. I had some landscapes that they picked to use as the physical awards for the top five recipients of the evening. And that was really nice. So they bought them and they sort of matted and framed them up, and they had like a nice little plaque underneath them that you know has the award winner's name on it. So that was really cool. So I got to go to the award ceremony for that, which was a few weeks ago, I think. And it was in the center of Manchester. And like all the sort of the big wig art people were there, like Van McLeod, who was the commissioner of the New Hampshire Department of Cultural Resources. So it was really cool. So it sort of, and it was nice because they sort of did a little thing where they kind of talked about me, a little bio about me at first. Yeah. And then you sort of stand up. And so like this entire room sort of got a brief overview of like what I've done for the last 5 or so years. I'm on their radar, which is really cool.
What was it like to have that read back to you? You're like there in the audience.
It was really
right?
Like I started like profusely sweating and then like I got really lightheaded. Like I thought I was going to like pass out. Like I felt I had a hard time concentrating. Like my eyes were all kind of blurry and everything. And then I kind of looked at Sarah. And then I had to sort of stand up and do like one of those little like, you know, like modeling.
Hi.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, oh, thank you. Little wave kind of thing. Yep. I kind of like rushed through that really quick and I kind of looked at everybody really. It was really weird. It was just like, ah.
So now you know what Sally Field must have felt like.
Yes. You really, really like me. so that was really cool. But it was just nice to sort of, now I'm at least on their radar a little bit. I'm on like all of their radars a little bit.
Yeah. Now you got to live up to expectations.
Exactly.
Man.
So now I need to sort of just keep with this sort of, I don't know what you would call it, like this. Keep up with that fast pace that everything has been going at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been good. So yeah, so like that was the first like 3 months or something of 2010.
Yeah. And several other people we know won awards in those areas. Like Studio 99 is the, I think one picked up three things, right? The best place, we're talking about the Hippo. The Hippo award thing. The best place to be seen.
Best view.
The best view. We're looking at the view right now, and it is beautiful.
And best dating place.
Best dating places. Yeah. Have you seen a lot of dating happening here, Elise? Jeez, she's not a yes. And yeah, well,
I would take a date to a live concert. That's kind of cool.
That would score big points.
Yeah.
Especially if it was a good one.
Exactly.
And that's the kind of concerts they have here at Studio 99.
Yes.
Yep.
That's the kind of music they
have. It's not some guy with a tin can and harmonica.
All jug band music. Not all the time.
I would see jug band music.
I would see jug band music too. Maybe she needs to look for a jug band.
I would like to see a Zydeco band. That would be cool.
Talking about Cajun shrimp.
Yeah. Ooh-wee. Well, they have a bluegrass jam, so maybe they have stuff that's kind of like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Tanya LaCourse had her art party mentioned in the New Hampshire magazine thing, which is cool because she's been working to build that community for quite some time.
She has done 4 of these art parties so far. It's sort of an artist networking evening. She has them all at nice little locations. I think the last one she had at Jane and the Beanstalk in Manchester. Really nice place. And she got an award from New Hampshire Magazine this year for the art party, saying it was like, you know, one of the best sort of.
It was like the hippest something.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly like what it is.
So that's good. So it's nice to see that you know, she's starting to get recognized for sort of building networking thing for the local artists. And I approve.
Yeah. Now, what else are we missing? What else is going on?
What else have been going on? I've been running the workshop, the workshops out of the studio, which have been going very, very well.
So this was the first workshops you were running under your own banner as opposed to...
This is the first time I'm teaching them out of the studio instead of teaching them up at the New Hampshire Institute of Art. Still teaching them up there, but I'm just running them out of the studio as well in conjunction, just to get them out to sort of a different audience.
Yep.
And they've been going good. The two I had in May have both sold out, and they both went really, really well. And there's another one coming up on June 12th. And there's a couple of spaces still left. And then on June 19th, which is the following Saturday, there's going to be one at the New Hampshire Institute of Art. And then I have more dates that are up on the portableportrait.com website.
Hmm. So how's it been running these things? Do you feel like more in command of the whole... This is a new space for you, too.
Yeah, I was really nervous at first about running them out of the studio. But the first one went pretty good. I mean, I'm still sort of working out the kinks a little bit, but I'm more comfortable doing them now. And it's good. I sort of limit the attendees to 8 per workshop.
Yep.
So even if, you know, 6 or 7 show up, it's still a good number of people, and it doesn't feel like it's a completely overcrowded number of people. So everybody feels like they get adequate time shooting, and they get adequate one-on-one time with me. So it's good. I like it. And it's just the fact that we're over near the studio, and there's so many locations around here that we can shoot in. It just makes it so much more interesting.
Do people get tired at the end of these long sessions?
We sort of go until people sort of fall down. and most people right around 8 o'clock, like we start at 1, usually right around 8, usually right after the sun goes down. Like we try to sort of get that last batch of shooting in as the sun's going down, and the backgrounds, the sky has all this nice color in it.
Right.
And then you can usually see, like, as soon as the sun goes down, you start looking at all the other people, they just start, like, passing out, or they'll just, like, you can just tell they're burnt. And that's pretty good. I mean, that's, we do sort of a little refresher thing when everybody first gets there. But the majority of the time we're outside. So, you know, they're getting sort of their fill, and I think they're leaving fulfilled with, in a good way.
Yeah.
I think they're getting images they don't normally get a chance to shoot. They're learning about the settings that they're using. They're learning how to do everything manual, which is sort of the most important thing about the workshop is, you know, learn how to manually control your camera
and
your lights. That's good.
It's amazing how much you do learn from just even things that you probably don't even think about, like what's a light stand and what does it look like and what I can buy doohickeys I put on top of the light stand and connect other doohickeys for it. And so just by even seeing that, the labeling and being able to handle them and seeing and just like, you know, some of the things that you said at the last workshop that I was, I was sort of hanging out, shooting the behind the scenes video stuff.
Yep.
Was, people had no idea that they could buy like a really inexpensive flashes, or
and
the idea of these remote triggers that you use to get the flash off the camera.
Yep,
and then being able to see the results. I mean, I think that I saw a lot of people go, "Oh,
yep,
all right." So I just need to buy these three things. Whereas before, like I remember trying to find information about like lighting because I was taking pictures of things on like pens, stuff like that. And I was buying stupid things like little small portable light
tents.
You put it for little eBay things, which actually worked pretty well, but I didn't have good lighting sources. So I was like buying those reflector dishes from Home Depot and, you know, garage kitting stuff together. Like it wasn't really consistent and I was having difficulty with color balance and the things were really hot.
Yep. Yep.
So then I started looking at expensive continuous lighting, you know, like cold cathode, you know, stuff. And it's all expensive.
Yeah.
Even if you go for those mysterious Russian places, they're all kind of sketchy and expensive. And like just seeing that, oh, okay, this is what a light stand is and this is how you connect the thing to the top. It's only opened up a lot of possibilities to me. So I'm sure that, I know because the workshop attendees would be talking amongst themselves.
Yeah,
and just sort of just being kind of amazed. So like, I have so much power now that's in my grasp, thanks to just experiencing, you know, like not only the equipment but like how you move around, and you'd be surprised. Like even things like how do you pick up a light stand are kind of mysterious to people like me who've never like worked with this kind of a gear before.
Mm-hmm.
You pick it up from the side. Do I need to take everything off of it? Or you know, those kind of practical things are important to see.
Yeah. Crazy. And so what else? Like, so there's been that.
You've been playing that game.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called again?
I bought Red Dead Redemption. I bought it for the Xbox, and it's sort of a Grand Theft Auto clone, but instead of taking place in current day, it takes place in the Wild West.
Yeah.
It is amazing. I love it. I've already beat it. I put like 31 hours on it, like within a week, which is probably when I should have been doing my work, but instead I had to go home and... And it was really, like, hot. Like, we got hit with a couple of really hot days last week. And it just got ridiculously hot in the studio. And it was just so hot. I walked in there, and it was, like, 96 degrees. And I was just like, I can't, no. So I just went home and curled up. And amazing game. I don't want to go too in-depth in the game, but it's really, really good.
It sounds like it's an amazing, like, backstory. It draws upon a lot of, like, Western legends.
It is. It's like a total spaghetti Western theme.
Yep.
So I recommend, if you've got it, it's for the Xbox and for the PlayStation 3. If you have it and you like Grand Theft Auto style sandbox type games, totally get it. So good.
Yeah, we've been due for a good Western game for a while, I think. Mm-hmm. The last one I remember playing was like this old LucasArts one. That must have been like 8 years ago.
Is that Outlaws.
That's the last one I played. And it was... I remember liking it. And so now they must be the production values, that must be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been playing Star Trek Online, which I shouldn't. I know. Like, what was the last couple of weeks have been a blur. I can't remember even why. Oh, because it went on sale, and I figured like I just kind of wanted to go on a vacation and
in space.
So I kind of did, and you know the Star Trek universe has always kind of interested me. Plus, I love spaceships, and I got to see all these spaceships. But the interesting thing about it was, as I was playing this game, it reminded me how much more satisfying a lot of these games are because you get some kind of feedback on what you're doing. You can tell the progress you're making.
Yeah.
And the kind of stuff that we do, we're trying to create our own creative businesses and, you know, we're making the stuff up as we go along. Mm-hmm. It's very, you know, a lot of time goes by before you get something like a mention in a magazine or like an award or things like that. And so up until then, you're really not sure what's going on. Mm. So in a way, this was kind of a, you know, this reminded me of that. And it also reminded me that I could be making things like this, you know, the idea that you can provide this kind of feedback. And so it's all been very interesting. It's been providing like a social context for tasks and things, which is what, you know, Starfleet's all about. Plus, it's Star Trek. You get to fly around in your starships. You get your own starship. You start with this action with the Borg, and you get field promoted because your captain gets killed, and then you had to go and save the day, and you go to, you know, missions, and then you've got like in like Andorians as your security guards and like your red shirts and
you can, red shirts.
I find it surprisingly compelling. It really was kind of like, it's a little bit like playing cowboys and Indians. It's a little bit like going on a, like a in-home virtual vacation. You just go to this other place and you fly around the galaxy and blow up Klingons and shoot Gorn and things like that.
Corn?
Gorn. Yeah, those lizard creatures.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's been good. The rest of things, I've been working on my design website.
Yep.
I've had a few changes to that. I was trying to make... You know, a big insight I've had was I was trying to make the offerings very simple.
Yep.
But in actuality, I really love complexity.
It takes a lot of effort to make something look simple.
It does. It does take. And you had to go through all that complexity. And I think the unwitting expectation I set up with people, with some people, I should say, is that by trying to offer simple solutions, I made the problem look simple, where often it's not. And I'm also the kind of person who likes to see a lot of fine detail, nuance, subtlety in the approach of something. So I'm readjusting the design offerings now to be like things like templated designs, and then there's this whole custom process that you kind of had to go through, you know, the discovery, the... So now I need to redo everything that I did like last month. and at that point, that's probably when I decided, you know, maybe playing Star Trek Online is like something I feel like doing more right about now. So... That's really about it. Are there any art things that are coming up that we should know about? There's that Chase Jarvis thing that's going on. The that online university.
Yeah,
thing.
So
when
photographer Chase Jarvis has set up because he's not happy just taking pictures. He actually has to like create all kinds of crazy stuff. So he created. Well, I'm not sure but there's a place called creativelive.com, and it's. It's an online instructional site where they do workshops online. Like they do it in a studio, but they broadcast them online. And the cool thing about it is that if you watch it on the scheduled day that the workshop is going on, you can watch the whole thing for free. And some of them, like they had photographer Vincent I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but it's like Vincent Lefore. He did a, like, it's like a 3-day workshop, and he talked about using digital SLR cameras that have the HD video capability as video cameras. And like he did Saturdays and Sundays, and it was like 16 hours a day, and then he did that previous Friday for like another 8 hours, and then you just watch it for free, and you can watch him go through his entire thing. And they're scheduling more and more people to do this, so they've got these workshops that are going to be happening that you can just sit online and basically watch the entire thing, and you don't have to pay for it. To subsidize sort of the cost of this website, you can buy the workshops afterwards, and I think they're $129, or you can pre-order the workshops for $79.
That's interesting.
And then what they do is they don't even edit it. They just dump you all the raw footage.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So this guy, like this Vincent Lefore guy, they, you know, if you paid the $79 or to pre-order it, or if you paid $129, they'll give you, you know, what, 8, 16, like almost 24 hours of raw footage that you can have.
And is it multi-camera coverage, or is it just one camera?
I think it is. I think they've got everything set up, and there's like light, you know, there's like camera stations, and it switches back and forth, and it's really impressive.
Wow, that's cool.
It's kind of cool to be able to just sort of sit in on that if you want. And you know, also you can pay, you know, $79, you're getting a 3-day workshop, and you can write it off.
Yeah.
You know, if you need to.
Yeah.
So that seems really, really cool. So
do you have to, if they show it live once and then after
they show
that
it,
you...
Yeah, they show it live just once. So if there's one in a couple of weeks, So if you're there on that Saturday and Sunday, you can just sit at home and turn the computer off. You log on, and you can watch it.
That's neat.
Yeah, and then if you miss it, then you can pay the money and sort of get all the footage dumped to you.
I like the balance that strikes, because it's free, but you had to go through an effort to be available for that. I mean,
yeah.
But then that's entirely reasonable to ask you to buy the footage.
Yep.
And things like
and
that.
And even, you know, especially if you like $79 for like
24 hours of
right, like 24 hours of raw footage. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's the closest you can get to being there.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. That's
so great. I think that's very cool.
You know, speaking of photography, that reminds me of we had actually recorded another podcast before this, but I never got around to editing. And everything we mentioned in the podcast had then expired. So I just never edited. But in the last podcast, we mentioned Ben Slavin getting back from his South American trip.
Yes.
And we should say something about that.
Yes. So hello to Ben, if he's listening. Ben Slavin, local gentleman, rode his motorbike from New Hampshire to the southernmost city of South America. He took him 6 months, and then he came back, and then like a few days after he got back, before he even had a chance to clean himself up, we did another photo session of him with sort of the bike all beat up and him like all scraggly, and he hadn't had a haircut and his beard was all big and bushy. And like, it's just, you know, talk about like doing epic shit.
Yep.
You know, just got on a bike and he just lived off that bike, and he had a blog. It's called a few more miles.com. You can log it on. He's got images. He blogged the whole time he was doing the whole trip, and that's left up. And then he's been sort of doing lots of cool little things because of that. I think one of the things he wants to do is he wants to sort of work on a documentary, that's catered sort of to people that want to do these types of cross country trips.
Yep.
And so I think later in the summer he wants to sort of start working on that.
Yep.
And he's been sort of in touch with a lot of the manufacturers of some of the equipment that he used the whole way down, like the panniers that he has on his bike, and the people that made the tent that he slept in, who actually are in the building across from my studio.
Yeah, I'd remember reading about those guys in ID Magazine, and I didn't realize they were just across the street from you.
Yeah, it's like you can see, like, they have these little flags, these little triangle flags hanging in their windows, and I had no idea.
Oh, that's okay.
That's the place. So okay. I had no idea who that was, and then it turns out it was these guys. So that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so check it out. His website is at afewmoremiles.com. And it sort of goes through his entire trip, through Argentina and Bolivia and what's his little tie and Chile and Colombia and Costa Rica, like all kinds of places. So it's really cool. It's a really good read. So check it out. If anybody has ever thought about doing this sort of thing, or inspired to do this sort of thing, just like, he just breaks it all down and just all the weird, crazy stuff that he ran into and dealt with, and like accidents that he had, and just all kinds of cool stuff.
I think it's called Adventure Travel.
Adventure Travel?
Yeah. If you look for Adventure Travel on the internet, all these sites of people who are just not doing like, I'm going to go to Disneyland, or I'm going to spend 2 weeks in Fort Lauderdale. There are people who say, I want to go on an archaeological dig in Egypt. There's travel agencies that specialize in that kind of thing. So that might be an area that Ben's like, you know, setting things up like this sort of cross-country motocross thing or something. That's really cool, that whole traveling thing. It reminds me of that photographer who has that custom bus, and he does Photoshop workshops, and he sells DVDs. His name is Ben Wilmore. Yeah, I was just looking at his website the other day because I had wanted to like get my own RV or bus or something like that, and someday do the same kind of thing. And then I found out this guy was already doing it, so I check in on him on his blog every once in a while just to see. And The freedom of the open road.
Freedom, the wind blowing through your hair.
Yep.
That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
And
is that it?
So what else?
No, that might be it.
Is that about everything?
Don't want to hurt ourselves. It's been a while since we've done
That's
this.
That's true. We need to ease back into this baby stuff.
Let's see. Well, let's check with the gallery audience to see if there's anything we're forgetting here.
Is there anything else we need to talk about?
No, it's just silence.
No?
Okay, well, let's just wrap it up then.
All right, that was a good run. So we're here at the Nashua Jelly, which everybody should try coming to.
Yep.
It's Fridays at Studio 99 in Nashua, and it's from
noontime?
10 to 5, but it might be from noon to 5 because
check the website.
People don't really roll in. Yeah, so check the 11 to 5. Okay. If you show up at noon, you'll definitely be safe. Definitely goes till 5 o'clock. And to find out more information about that, it's at studio99nashua.com. And also check out all the really good concerts that she's got coming up.
Yep.
What else?
I think that's it.
Is that it? All right. I guess that's it. We're going to keep it short and sweet.
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right. But you have to do the outro thing.
The outro. What was the
Don't
outro
the
again?
Outro. You say this basically.
This is, all right. This is David Sayes, the graphic designer.
And this is photographer Sid Caesar.
Signing off. Oh, there's my phone.
And it's coming off.
Damn it. Well, let's see. Where were we?
We were logging out.
Okay. How did the outro go again? I don't even remember.
I don't know. We could say thanks for listening to the podcast.
Why do you take the outro this time?
Do I have to? Okay.
Well.
All right. I'll wait a few seconds here.
Yep.
That's going to do it for this podcast. This is photographer Sid Caesar.
This is designer Dave Say.
And we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
For some reason, I'm always compelled to say yes.